Yellow Daisy is asking, here's a total tangent. Are the Nephilim living in caves here on Earth now, and are the demons more active now?
They're only in caves that are in black neighborhoods.
Only there. He said it, I didn't.
They're in Harlem. They're up in Harlem.
That's where you'll find them. Yeah. That is Ryan. That is a Ryan Peterson quote. That is not a very white Josh Peck quote. Yeah, that no. is.
I was just joking.
Awesome. I love you,
I was just kidding. I don't want to. Don't put that on Josh. It was my joke. Absolutely, I claim that. But
hey, I'm willing to piggyback off of it. It was a great joke. I think it's hilarious. You are phenomenal.
Yeah. So no, I don't think that they're alive today. So I just you know, and I talk about this. That's why I have a chapter called "The Last Stand of the Nephilim," and I think that's when they were wiped out by David's mighty men, and you know, it was described in scripture. And I think it's very interesting. One thing I do point out is that you have in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, the last giant that's mentioned is called the Egyptian. And he's killed by one of David's mighty men. The very next verse, his death is the end of that chapter. The very next verse of the next chapter, it says, then Satan rose up to provoke David to sin. And so it's interesting. I find it that like, wow, once the last giant's killed, now we see Satan immediately personally step into action to do something. So I think that's even the Bible subtly telling us, yeah, they're gone now. So Satan's this weapon he had is now out of his arsenal. So now he has to now step in to do something himself. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I'm with you on that. Ed, I'm going to butcher this name. Ed Gulisano, hoping that's right. Question for both Josh or Ryan. What is your opinion on the book of Og and the Rephaim? Any legitimacy there? Thanks. I will just say quickly, I'm not familiar with a book of Og or the Rephaim. Has that come up in your research at all, Ryan?
I think that if it's the same book I'm thinking of, it was a medieval book. It doesn't date back to like the book of Enoch, or the book of Jasher, to the apocryphal age. I think it's a medieval book, but I actually didn't look into actually reading it during my research. But I did come across it, I believe. Yep.
All right. Not a problem at all. Hey, I'll tell you what. That's what we do on this channel. If we don't know something, then we just are honest with the audience. Amen. So that's great.
Amen.
Ruben is asking, are tall grays, Nordic and reptilian, in quotes, aliens, remnants of the giants? What do you think about that? Is there a connection between the alien question and possible modern Nephilim? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think there's a definite connection there. And I think that, you know, the alien extraterrestrial phenomenon, I think, is just demonic manifestation. And it's interesting that when you look even in scripture at what demons, how they're described, like that, you know, when scripture talks about false teachers, heretical pastors, it says they teach doctrines of demons. So demons have a very vested interest in trying to control our thoughts and lead us to either worshiping them or thinking things that are opposing God. And even at Armageddon, when the Antichrist and the false prophet, they release demons, frogs out of their mouth that go and persuade the kings of the world to come battle. So they have they're very interested in influencing us. And I think the whole alien phenomenon is about is that pulling us to believe in aliens from another planet, whether they are benefactors, whether it's the alien gospel that they were created us, all these types of false beliefs and doctrine to twist our minds and move us from Christ. So I think there's a direct connection. And are they manifesting as grays or Nordics or some type of alien appearance? I think it's totally possible, but it's just a demonic illusion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know totally how to parse all of it with the UFO. I mean, and I even wrote a book with Derek Gilbert called the day the earth stands still. And even in that, I had to, you know, admit my ignorance on the subject, because there's just so much that we don't know. You know, all we know are what other human beings have had to experience. And there seems to be something there. So I'm not turned off to the fact that some Christians believe that they are real aliens and some Christians believe that they are demons. I see both of them. I'm probably more on the demon side. I think it's all demonic. But at the same time, I understand, you know, other beliefs about that. And it's a big mystery, and I'm right there with you. Assuming Lucifer is intelligent, how did he ever believe he could ever win against the one true God? I know pride was a factor, but he had to know he had zero chance to ever overtake God. Now, that's an interesting question. I think that's something that all Christians have probably thought about from time to time. You know, why did Satan rebel, and why did he think that he could actually win against God? What do you think about that?
I think the spirit of angels is, you know, is very powerful. And I talk about how I think the Nephilim had this acceleration of evil, right? Which says that the minds of humanity, once the Nephilim were on the earth, was only evil continually. So I say that because I think that for an angel who becomes corrupted, says, you know, and iniquity is now in his heart, I think their fall into sin can be really strong because they are very powerful spiritually. So their rebellion can be very powerful to think, yes, I can overtake God. And if you just think about humanity, you know, about even us, whether you're unsaved or you're a Christian, and you sin, you know, why are we rebelling against God? You know, I am weekly repenting for my sins, and like I can't get away from it. God knows what I'm doing. God sees us 24/7, but yet we still, in our ignorance and in our sinful flesh, will rebel against him at times, so willfully. But yet it's like, how, you know, someone could easily look at us from heaven, an angel, say, how could you do that, Ryan? Don't you know we're all watching you right now in HD? What are you doing? You don't think God sees you? So, but it's because that's the deception of the sinful heart, right? When it says the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. So you can be deceived into thinking you can overtake God, and, you know, and humanity is going to do that. I mean, it's really, when you think about it, you know, these passages are short in Revelation, but to think that people are going to assemble in mass to fight against Jesus, I mean, that means they believe he's real. They're not questioning and saying, oh, I'm just going to sit home because I don't believe any of this Revelation stuff. No, they're saying he is real. He is coming, and we want to fight against him. So that's the danger of giving into sin over and over and over again to your conscience is seared, that you know, there are going to be human beings who think they can fight God, literal, just regular flesh and blood human beings. And of course they will lose, but they're going to believe that in their heart and actually go out to battle.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it too. I interviewed Dr. Michael Lake, and he said something similar, that, you know, there was a time when the whole idea is that God's creation cannot fully understand who or what God is to his totality, because we're a creation, we're subservient, we're less than what God is. So there's always going to be some aspect where we can't fully grasp it, you know, not totally. So the way that Dr. Michael Lake put it, he said there was a time where, you know, Satan saw a ray of light shine on the throne of God, and he said, I'm going to make war against that. But really all that was it was a breach in a, you know, as a breach in a hole of the dimension or whatever, and he was only getting a ray of light. I think there's some wisdom in that, is that Satan doesn't really fully understand who or what God is either. I mean, he might have been in the presence of God, but what does that really mean? How could a fallen angel or even an angel really understand, even if they're in the presence of God, how could they really understand what, who exactly God is exactly like experientially? There's no way that we could ever know that. So it's all about faith and trust. I mean, that's been the deal since the beginning. That's the deal for us. It's the deal for angels. You know, angels have to make that choice as well. They have free will as well. They can fall or they can be obedient. And they don't fully know How could they know? I mean, God's the creator. He can't. Is he going to create something equal to himself? If he does that, then we may as well be polytheists. You know, we may as well believe in multiple gods. And that's never been the case throughout the scriptures. So we know that God has a creation. He's created many things, and that there's going to be some aspects of him that we're never going to fully understand. But that's where that's where faith comes in. Are we going to make war against the little bit that we can understand? Are we going to make war against that? Or are we going to realize, okay, you Lord have given me a little bit of yourself, and I love it, and I want to serve you, even though I know I'm never really going to fully understand all of the aspects of you, because I'm never going to be God, you know. And I think that is the sin of pride, the sin of Satan, is that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be, he didn't want to be subservient, not only to man, but also not to God. He didn't want to be subservient anymore. And that is his great sin. And many human beings fall into that. So I would totally agree there. Ranger for Jesus. Is there anything Satan can do? This is a good question. I would add believers into this. Is there anything Satan can do, or I would say believers as well? Can Satan or believers do anything to delay events in Revelation? Obviously, Satan has read the Bible and knows how this ends. Why does he even try? That sort of tracks along with the question we just answered, but can Satan do anything to delay the events in Revelation? And at the same time, can we as believers do anything to delay the judgments that are to come? I would say if we repent, we might be able to, but what do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'm trying to make sure I understand. I'm going to answer it, but I might not be thinking of the question the same way you're thinking of it, but you sure can let me know. So and also, by the way, I have to give you all right. So we got we're both in Central Time. So I'll give you, I got 12, roughly 12 to 15 minutes.
It's very late. Yeah, and yeah. I appreciate the time that you've given us. And by the way, for the audience, Ryan has already been on about an hour or maybe a little bit more past what he agreed to. So everybody give a big thanks to Ryan and thank you so much. Can you do one more question after that?
Okay.
No, we'll do one more after that. And thank you.
Yeah, no, I still have time. Yeah. So I really think in terms of the unfolding of the events that, you know, the Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, I really put everything starting at the sixth seal, including the rapture. I think that's where everything starts. So I look at the fifth seal martyrs. I believe those are martyrs of the entire church age through time. And they're saying to God, you know, how long must we wait to, you know, avenge us? And God says a little while longer. So I think that what ultimately, and he says, and you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but God says until, you know, it basically says that until like the fullness of your number, you know. So I think what God is saying to them is that there are still more who will die, more believers who will be martyred, but when there's a certain number is reached, then God will start, then everything starts. And so I think that's actually the event that there's going to be that God has a number. That will be fulfilled, and that will trigger everything. So the delay, I guess, is just how that plays out in terms of persecution against Christians. But so I don't know if Satan directly can do anything or we can. I think that certainly our efforts to share the gospel, I think will have, is affecting the timeline, I think, in some ways, and how quickly we're getting to the end times, how effectively we're doing it or not doing it. But I don't know if we can delay it. And in terms of how does Satan think he can win? Remember, the devil didn't have a full understanding of scripture. The devil didn't put together who Jesus truly was and what Jesus' true mission was in his first coming. He didn't know. So it's not like he knows everything. And maybe because Revelation says, you know, prophesies obviously his defeat, doesn't mean he doesn't think he can think of a way out of it, right? And I always go back to Cain, because the Bible, Cain is one of the few people who says directly he was of that wicked one. Cain was really a lot like the devil. Cain lied to God's face. Yeah. Said, am I my brother's keeper? He just lied, you know, knowing he's speaking to God directly and said, you know, basically, I don't know where Abel is. You know, why are you asking me? You know, it's not my job to look out for him. And really thought, and then had no repentance, even when God told him that he knew of his sin. He had no repentance. And so that heart, and, you know, and imagine Satan, who, of course, is more powerful, thousands of years older and more evil. It doesn't surprise me to think that why I'm not going to believe God's word. God's wrong. I think ultimately that's how and I'm totally speculating here, but I think a lot of the initial rebellion was Satan telling the angels, yea, hath God said, God's word isn't right. I'll tell you what's really going on. Don't believe God's word. And that's what he's doing now to humanity. So I don't believe the devil fully believes Revelation anyway.